Most Christians understand the term stewardship, at least we think we do, until we read about the story of the widow who gave all she had to God's work, Luke chapter 21. Then all of a sudden, things get a little uncomfortable. Well, no, surely God doesn't mean for me to do that, does he? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we chat about the myth of stewardship with my special guest, Rick Dunham. There are two and fundamentally opposed views that you and I can have about the money and the possessions and indeed the income-earning capacity that we have. The first is the most common one, that it all belongs to me. It's mine, all mine, and I'll do whatever I want with it, whatever I want. Well, that's pretty much how most people see things. The other one is the God view, the notion that everything we have has been given to us by God, entrusted to us as stewards to use it for his purposes and his will. That's the whole notion of stewardship. Now, I'm joined again today by my good friend Rick Dunham, who's just written a book called Financially Secure, based on the lessons that he's learned in what could best be described as a journey on a very long and winding road. Mm. Lessons about money and indeed stewardship that God's been teaching him through his life and some pretty tough practical experiences. Rick, thanks so much for joining us again.
Great to be back.
Now, when you went through this whole experience of facing bankruptcy, not once, but twice almost, quite a few years ago now, you were a young man back then, you were telling us about it the other day. I'm really interested that you say that at the time you thought you knew a bit about stewardship, did you?
I thought I did, but as I've come to realize, I didn't really understand stewardship at all.
Why?
It was a fundamental misunderstanding about who really owned what I had.
Now, in your book, this chapter on stewardship is by far the longest chapter, so take us on that journey.
Yep. Well, I've titled the chapter The Myth of Stewardship because I think all of us, almost all of us, have live under this myth of what stewardship really is. At the top of the program, you talked about this, you know, this fundamental difference between two views, one that views it as all mine and one that views it as all God's. And I think most Christians will give assent to the fact, well, God owns it all. He owns a cattle on a thousand, he owns it all. But really don't believe it. We don't live it. The actions demonstrate that we honestly don't believe that. And I am the prime example of that. I thought, yeah, I could give this theological agreement to this concept that God owns it all. But in reality, the way that I handle my money and the way that I've lived out my life, I acted as though I owned it. And that the whole idea of stewardship and teaching today is that people believe that stewardship equals giving. Stewardship is not about giving.
Hang on, say that again.
Stewardship is not about giving.
Someone's going to take you out and burn you at the stake as being a heretic here. Come on. What do you mean?
Here's the way I define it in the book. I said, The myth of stewardship is the belief that stewardship is giving God a portion of what we have and that the rest is ours to do with as we please. That is actually a very unbiblical view of giving.
What's the biblical view?
The biblical view of giving, in fact, my first title for this book was All In. Mm-hmm. It's this idea that we as believers, when we understand that it truly is all God's, then I want to take every resource I have and put it to effect for his kingdom purposes. Does that mean I give 100% to the local church or to Christian ministries? No, that's not the point at all. Stewardship, the way I define it, is the wise and effective investment of all the resources that the master has entrusted to us in order to produce the best possible return for him and his kingdom.
Do you want to read that quote again?
Yeah. Stewardship is the wise and effective investment of all the resources the master has entrusted to us in order to produce the best possible return for him and his kingdom.
Okay, so how does that relate then between having the stuff that we need to live off and even the luxuries that many people buy versus giving to God's work? I understand what you're saying, all in, but how does that work on the ground? How do you make sense of that on the ground in your life?
It starts with a biblical understanding of what is God's priority. One of the best investments, stewardships that I could have, may be to take my wife out for dinner so that we can get time alone, to build our relationship and strengthen our marriage and to ensure that we're on the same page, especially if we're in a moment of disagreement. It might be to take her away for a weekend. It might be investing on that family holiday so that, we build a relationship with our kids that's robust and real and honest, where we can affect their lives in ways that we just can't in the normal day-to-day life of the world we live in today. All that is good stewardship, because it's, if it's driven by biblical principles, if it's driven to create the best possible impact for his kingdom.
Okay, that might be nice from a Western perspective. You know, America's a fairly wealthy country. I know there's poverty in America, but like Australia, fairly wealthy country. What would you say to the husband and wife who are in a Somali refugee camp in the moment? Because there are people listening in refugee camps in Somalia. Sure. What would you say to them is stewardship?
God doesn't expect us to do anything that, he has not put into our hands to do. In the parable of the talents is all about how God has given one, two, and five talents. So God will give us what he knows in, our lives, what we can not only handle, but, also what we can effectively invest for his purposes. So he doesn't expect us to do anything beyond what we're capable of doing. All he expects is to see everything that he has put into our trust to be used for his kingdom purposes.
Okay, so stewardship is about wisdom then and understanding the biblical perspective?
Understanding that everything is his. And that it's not just about how much I might give to the church via 2%, 10%. It's about how do I use everything in my hands for kingdom purposes.
There's a story in the Bible, John chapter 12, about a woman pouring a whole bunch of expensive perfume onto Jesus. Doesn't seem very smart to me. From a stewardship perspective, I mean, Jesus praised her for doing that. How do you look at that?
That's, I mean, that's a fantastic story, because it really makes the point that Jesus is seeking to make in terms of how we view money and stewardship. Obviously, the disciples, Judas in particular, was not too happy about the use of that, because he really wanted that money. So it was kind of a bit of a false humility on his part. But I think the real point of the parable or the story was that in preparing him for burial, Mary was honoring Jesus in a way that she knew nobody else could honor him in the moment. And it was to say how much she loved him, and she poured it out. She poured out everything for him. And I think it's a beautiful illustration of how the extravagance of our lifestyle should be the extravagance of how we're pouring it out for the kingdom, however that might be defined.
That's really nice. I like that. So when it comes to this whole thing of stewardship, and because it's such a big subject, we're going to talk about it again next week, what do you think God wants you and me to understand?
Well, there's a number of principles. Probably at the very basic part is that God doesn't expect anything from us that he hasn't empowered us to do. It's really fascinating that in the parable, over and over and over again, the verb that's used is that the master entrusts.
This is the parable of the talents.
Yeah, the parable of the talents. That the master entrusts the servants with these talents. And at the core of that word is the idea of trust. Trust. Mm-hmm. That the master trusts us. Whoever's listening today, the master trusts you with what God, what he's put into your hands. He does. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it. The problem is we've misaligned our priorities with his priorities. And as a result, we're not fully effectively doing, I think, what God's calling us to do with his resources.
Well, let's pick up on that again next week. Now, social media, love it or hate it, it's a powerful reality in the lives of billions of people here in the 21st century. Of course, some terrible things happen out there in that whole social media world, which is why it's so important for us to use this medium to bless people for God's glory. So if you're on Facebook, head across to the Christianity Works page and press the like button. When you do, you'll start seeing some positive and uplifting posts from us in your feed, including free booklet downloads from time to time. But more than that, when you're touched by one of them, you can actually share them with your friends, becoming something of a social media missionary for the glory of God. Look, we need to be out there sharing the good news of Jesus, amen? Well, this is one of the simple, practical, and powerful ways that you can do that. So visit the Christianity Works Facebook page, hit the like button, be encouraged and blessed, and share some of that with your friends as well. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time on Monday. with a different perspective.